90% of the things I do in my life, I like doing and I'm pretty good at. And so one of the things I've learned over the years is how to delegate, how to say no, because when you're a doer, as most of your listeners are doers, right? When you're a doer, you get asked to do more. And we really need to be bold to say, nah, not my space, not my Dan Sullivan zone of genius. It's for somebody else to do. And we need to be okay with that because we're put here to work in our zone of genius.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends, courtesy of my good buddy Jenny from the Business Block herself, Jennifer Glass, y'all. That's right, indeed. She was a guest on this show and she hooked me up with another wonderful human, y'all, because today's wonderful guest, y'all, a wonderful international best-selling bookcaster, because not only is he wrote a best-selling book, he's also a podcast host as well. And not only that, he is a granddad, a husband, as well as a small business advocate, highly sought after speaker, y'all. So that's right, the highest grade of metaphorical weed in the dispensary. That's him, y'all. That's right, indeed, for his wonderful expertise. And he's also your lawyer's favorite lawyer. So let's give it up for the BG himself, baby, the one, the only, Ben Glass.
What a kind introduction. I need to get you to come and introduce for me, right, at our events. I can come be our MC with that cadence. That's awesome. You get people excited, Dom, and I'm happy to be here and happy to talk to your audience. You and I, before we went live, we just talked about, like, our job is to help move the world forward a little bit at a time, get people to ignore the noise out there and really see the abundant opportunities that they have here in America. And so let's talk, because this book is cool. And some of your folks may know Dan Kennedy, and he's been a longtime mentor of mine. And yeah, we're new fourth edition of No BS Time Management for Entrepreneurs. Comes out in August 13, and everyone who's listening to this should get it because they're entrepreneurs.
So right about that, man. So right about that, indeed. Man, like, you're like a walking well of wisdom, man. So how'd you come across Dan Kennedy, man? How'd you guys meet?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I had a very traditional path through law school early in the career, 12, 13 years, worked for other people, and then you get that entrepreneurial itch. Actually, I had a long commute, Dom, and I was coaching three of my kids' soccer teams. We have 9 children now. They're older, so the youngest is about 22. And I got that itch, said, you know what? I'm a good lawyer. I can go do this. So I wanted to start something closer to my house. Started that and went well for a while, and then it didn't because I didn't really know business skills. I was a good lawyer, didn't know how to market, hire, train, do leadership, things that you talk about. And, you know, out of the, I was a fan of the success literature, right? So I was listening to Zig Ziglar and Tommy Hopkins and Nightingale Conant, got the big catalog all the time. And one day I got in the mail an offer for something called Magnetic Marketing Toolkit by this guy, Kennedy. And it was an intriguing long form ad all about magnetically attracting your next customer or client to you. I put $300. It was the most I'd ever paid for a quote book at that time. I got it, almost sent it back, but I listened to the tapes. And when I listened to tapes 3 times, now I'm dating myself because I just said tapes. I listened to tapes 3 times and then, yeah, I got into it. And I said, you know, I don't understand half of what Dan's talking about. I didn't even understand all the words he was using. But I said, you know, if I could figure this out, I could change my practice and change the world. And I did. So I'm a student. So started to buy stuff from Dan, go to conferences and seminars. That was over 20 years ago. He's absolutely changed my life. I'm one of the lawyers he writes about in his writings and his books with some frequency, because there's only very few lawyers that he actually likes. Yeah. And so last summer, Dan sends me a fax. Now, this is the time management thing, because Dan is very regimented. He doesn't have email. He doesn't really, he has websites with his name on it, but that's really like, he's not looking at websites. And you communicate with Dan by fax. He sends me a fax middle of last summer. He goes, "Hey, I'm going to write the fourth edition. Would you like to play?" And I said, "Yeah, like, but I'm really, really busy. I'm really, really busy. And I got a big event of my own coming up. And what's the time frame?" He goes, 30 days. 30 days. So I said, "All right, well, I said yes, made the commitment, of course." And then I read the third edition over very carefully. I outlined it over the weekend and said, "Well, Dan, here's the areas where I think I could add a different perspective to the book." Dan has not for a long time run companies with lots of employees. He's lives a sort of isolated life. He's very famous in the entrepreneur world, Dan Kennedy. I've got 9 kids. I referee soccer. I do CrossFit. I run 2 businesses because I'm a lawyer and I'm also a coach. And so I have this different perspective. And so I set aside the time and wrote my chapters, and Dan loved them. And he said, "Can you write a technology chapter?" And I said, "I don't really do too much technology. So let's have a different spin on that too. My spin is that the entrepreneur leader really doesn't need to be the one that knows and operates all the tech, right? You got to have a team that can do that for you." And here we are. So folks may be familiar with the No BS series. Dan has written a series of books over the years. The time management book, Dan tells me, is the most popular book. It has sold the most for Entrepreneur Press. And so we're real excited to launch it and to talk to people like you and your audiences, because I think there's some really practical things. Here's the philosophical point that we start with, Dom, is that the entrepreneur is that guy and gal. Like, we are the ones that hold up the world on our shoulders. We really do. Like, doesn't matter who's in the White House as much as who's in your world, the world you create. And so it's on us to go out and find something and hunt it down and kill it and bring it back to the cave every single week, or we don't eat. And so while there are many time management books, Dom, this one is really built for you and I who have to get stuff done, running typically small businesses with people, both our teams who rely on us to be good, and our clients, customers, patients, whatever that is, whoever you serve, rely on us to be really good. And so let's be ruthless, meaning we're going to pay attention to time, not let people steal it, and we're going to try to maximize it. That's a long rant, but that's why we're here, dude.
Hey, I love your freaking energy, dude. And so it's like, so you do morning runs and CrossFit too?
Well, not on the same day. So okay. as we're recording this, we're heading into, I do a high school soccer refereeing. And so we'll head into the Scholastic private school season here in Virginia in the fall. I'm 66. I had triple bypass surgery in March. I've now documented the fastest recovery to CrossFit and refereeing for a 66-year-old. Notice how I frame that, right? That's a marketing thing. And I've worked very hard this summer. So CrossFit for strength, Dom, being strong, and I'm not the strongest, but being active, I guess, like, that is a key. It was a key to my fast recovery from surgery. The scary PSA is that I had 0 symptoms. This was discovered on routine screening. So all your male, particularly your male over 50s, like, routine screening, coronary arteries, no symptoms. I was exercising full out, boom. Five blockages, 3 which were bypassed. And so I've documented that on Facebook and on my TikTok account too. But yeah, so I'm full life, run 2 businesses. But mainly, Dom, for the most part, 90% of the things I do in my life, I like doing and I'm pretty good at. And so one of the things I've learned over the years is how to delegate, how to say no, because when you're a doer, as most of your listeners are doers, right? When you're a doer, you get asked to do more. And we really need to be bold to say, nah, not my space, not my Dan Sullivan zone of genius, right? It's for somebody else to do. And we need to be okay with that, because we're put here to work in our zone of genius. Dom, you've got a unique set of skills, interests, desires that no one else in the history of the world has. No one has your story. No one has your combination. And you are here, I believe, to use that unique skill, gift, and interest set to explode the world and move the world, and to say no to say no to most everything else. That's ruthless, but that's life.
Well, some would say ruthless, but hey, it's actually necessary, to be honest, because hey, if you're saying yes to some things, you're saying no to some things regardless either way, so it works 100%. Both ways.
100%. And we're, because most of us are like nice people who want to help the world, like we just get sucked into a lot of things and we go, why did I say yes to that deal?
It's like you got sucked into volunteer quicksand and then you wake up with a lampshade over your head. It's like, what the heck happened?
And you don't serve the world when that happens. You just don't.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, man, you even touched on a bit earlier in your process with rewriting the fourth edition when you went through it and decided to add some more updated thoughts to it. So my goodness, so with this being the fourth edition, like any advice for those who may be looking to republish their book in a new edition? Because that rarely comes up as a conversation piece on this podcast, funny enough.
Yeah, so I've written probably almost 20 books. Some of them are books designed to help market the law practice. We are a personal injury law firm over here in Virginia. Some of them are books I have written into the legal space. In other words, not how to do the law, but how to grow a business. Some of them are inspirational books. Dom, one of the books I wrote was called You, a Teenage Soccer Referee. That's, again, my passion. And what I wanted to do there was to impart mindset tools for teenagers who can't be very good at what they're doing when they start, but who are oftentimes subject to the abuse of idiot adults, right? So how do we get through that? And so, and Dom, I have just, we are 90% finished with a rewrite and a second edition of a book called Renegade Lawyer Marketing. And so, yeah, that, it's a great question, and it's work that is worth doing. And the thing is, if you are, as many of, so anyone who's written a book, it's probably decent at, they're writing their blog posts, they're writing their LinkedIn posts, they are trying to move the world. We publish a print journal, we have weekly faxes to our law firm members across the country. And a way to do this is to really keep chunks of material, and today you can keep this electronically, on different subject matters. So I have what I call my manifesto, but really it's a over 100-page document that just has my notes, Dom, on books I've written, my outline notes when I go to write PowerPoint slides for talks, my notes for all different areas of the law, so that when it comes time to write something that is a, quote, new edition, it's easy to go now access the material. You're never sitting down and clicking, it was a dark and stormy night, just on a blank page. You have this material. The other things to remember is that I think book editions, the book is, a book is one of the most remarkable referral tools and marketing tools anybody could ever have. And the reality is that most people are not going to study the insides of your book. Yes, you will have super fans who read from front to back and who make notes and do all that. What are we trying to do? We're trying to move the world. We're trying to move the world. So front cover, back cover, first third of the book, impactful. And those who are really interested will read the whole thing, but most aren't. We're trying to move the world. So coming up with something fresh isn't that hard when you are an idea person and you chunk together and you keep either electronically or in the old days, I literally had physical files. Here's a file on marketing. Here's a file on lead generation. Here's a file on referral relationships. Now we use products like Asana and Notion to sort of keep our knowledge repository. There's a book about the second brain by a guy named Tiago Forte, I think is his name. Like how can we, as we go through the world and get exposed to things, we don't really want it all sitting up here. I'm pointing to my head if you're listening to this later on. You don't really want it sitting all in your brain because that just taxes the energy of thinking. You want to be able to go put it someplace where you can go and retrieve it. So the heavy lift is writing the first book. Although today, again, there's so many great places you can go where if you can come up with an idea and an outline, you can get somebody to interview you and transcribe and edit. So you're not, I mean, no one is sitting down literally typing, it was a dark and stormy night. my first couple of books 20 years ago, I did it that way, right? And because there wasn't the technology, there weren't as many people who were interested in helping you get published. But today, no, we chunk. It didn't have for this part, because my part was, you know, 40% of this book. But I have editors and great editors around the world who can get you 80, 85% of the way there. Important part is you're coming back, you're putting your voice, your heart, your soul into the, I think, the final words of that. And I would encourage people, again, most people will still be impressed that you are a book author. Like, I just described a process that makes it seem relatively easy to do. Most of the world is not out there listening. Most of the world is still in awe that anyone has a book on Amazon. Well, I've got a bunch, and many, many people do. I do think it's an important part of a portfolio for someone who's leading a company. You've got something to serve the world. It doesn't matter. You could be running. I mean, I've seen books from guys who are running great plumbing and HVAC businesses, right? Seven Secrets to Finding the HVAC Company That Won't Rip You Off. You know, something. I just made that up. I don't mean to upset anybody. I just made that up out of thin air. But that's how we do it, and that's how we get books done. I mean, Kennedy is a prolific. I think he's got at least four this year. And his high-end strategy, of course, is now getting guys like me to come in and co-author. So his lift isn't that hard. His lift is in promoting the book and thinking of the next partner that he wants to join. And that actually is another way. So if you're in a mastermind group with folks, it could even be what we call mixed breed, like different kinds of businesses, Dom. You could say, hey, well, you're good at hiring. Write a chapter on that. Ben's good at, you know, converting sales calls to clients. Ben will write a chapter on that. Dom's good at making a podcast. That's an important chapter. And so you could get 4, 5, 6, 7 people and split up the workload, split up the cost. You could even, Dom, put your own special cover where you're the predominant name on the front of the cover on your edition, and your friend has got his or her name on their edition. So there's all different ways to do this. Another long answer from Mr. Glass.
Hey, name of the game, Wine Glass indeed, because it's fine wine content, y'all. That's right, indeed. It's good stuff. It's good stuff indeed. Some things you brought up, because it's things that folks don't even think about, like, especially when it comes to co-authoring books, and what you mentioned what Dan's doing, like, hey, just having someone else like co-author the book with them, so the lift isn't as heavy, because a book is a big project to take on, like, especially if you want to do it right. And especially with someone with his name and his brand, it's, yes, like you want to make sure you don't screw anything up. So it's like, yeah, it's just that pressure too. It's like, well, let me have someone come in with the extra layer of expertise to make the shine even brighter. And it's really a good thing to suggest for folks, is like, hey, like,
but here's right what rooms. Stops people, Dom. Here's what stops people, is they think it has to be perfect. Well, it doesn't. Like, here's the secret. Serious. You print 50 copies, you give them to your friends, they'll proof it for you. They'll tell you how you screwed up and how you can make it better. And, you know, today printing 50 copies of something like a book, or doesn't even need to be in the actual, I'm holding up the book, in the book form. Like, that's how you move. I wrote a chapter in this book on the art of decision making, right? And the biggest decision that any entrepreneur can make, whether you're talking about books or moving your business, is start. Like, just put something into play. We can change direction later much easier than we can start. So you want to start. Entrepreneurs, what do we make? We make messes. We make a lot of messes. And most people are afraid of, like, people are judging me. No, no one's actually watching you. No one's watching you make your messes, right? You know, for the most part, the messes we make are not fatal to our businesses, our reputation, or anything. But most people are living lives, Dom, where they're just so afraid of making a mistake, put something out there, especially with social media, like the meanness of social media. Oh, someone's going to criticize me. Who cares? They're on the other side of a cell phone someplace. They don't even know you. They're living in their parents' basement just tweeting out stuff that shouldn't affect your life. Now I've just upset another whole sub-segment of the population. I'm sorry, and I apologize.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You're just so right indeed. And funny enough, if I'm not mistaken, that's actually one of the principles from the book too. Good enough is good enough, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Absolutely. Again, we're not writing a New York Times bestseller, and it doesn't need to be a New York Times bestseller. For most of us who are listening to this, it's to help me get another customer, client, or patient in the door, right? Or to help me teach a referral source how to send the next customer, client, or patient to me. Help me create an audience who will be receptive to my sales message. Because really, a book, you're putting energy into the word. You're giving somebody something. They may be paying $16 on Amazon, from which like the author gets, 2.5 cents or something. But we're putting energy into the world, and we're building this circle of influence of people. If you have 1,000 people, Dom, who know you, like you, love you, like it doesn't matter what your business is, you're going to be successful, right? If they can tell your story for you, that's much louder than Ben saying, "Oh, Ben's a great lawyer," right? I'm a good lawyer for sure. But having other people be able to tell about this guy who's a lawyer and a CrossFit guy and a soccer referee, like that is so much more powerful. And that's another reason to put energy into getting a book or books or second editions into the universe.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Well, you'd mentioned entrepreneurs making messes. So has there been a mess in your entrepreneurial journey that
Yeah.
actually ended up creating a big success for you?
Well, I think so. So in your space, which is leadership, like when I started to first grow and scale my law firm, I didn't know what the heck I was doing, right? And so I made a lot of mistakes in hiring the wrong people, hiring too fast, not being fast enough to evaluate them and fire them and all that sort of stuff. From that, the success that comes from that is like, oh, what is this teaching me? Like, what this bad thing that just happened to me? An entrepreneur who's got the right mindset doesn't say, why did this happen to me? Blah, blah, blah. What is this teaching me? And it taught me, Dom, that I needed to be in rooms and at conferences with people who were doing things bigger, better, and faster than I was. So I have been a huge fan. I both run paid mastermind groups, but I'm also a paying member of mastermind groups, both in the legal space, so it'll be all lawyers, or what we call the mixed breed space. Again, businesses, different types of businesses. And in there, you go and you be vulnerable. Like, these are special places. I don't know if you've been in a mastermind group, but you go and be vulnerable. Like, you lay out your warts on the table, and you listen, and you listen respectfully, and you go back and do something. So my lack of knowledge about leadership and hiring and scaling a business led me to people who could teach me and hold my hand and push me and pick me up when I fell. Like, that's so important for entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are the loneliest people in the world. Like, nobody gets us except another entrepreneur. Oftentimes, spouse doesn't like get it. Like, why are you giving up a quote a re regular paycheck, to go run this gig? And so finding those people who will do exactly what I just described, and mastermind meetings can be intense. They can be joyful, but at the end of the day, if you play full in a mastermind group and participate and share and respectfully accept advice, you can't help but advance your life, scale your business. And when you do that, that's how we move the world, by having businesses that solve problems for consumers or other businesses, and by attracting people, Dom, who love to come to work for us. Like, our thing is, if you come to work, this will be the best place you ever work. Dom, I will repeatedly ask you, how can I make this perfect for you? Doesn't mean I can always fulfill your every want there. But Dom, if you're working for me and you don't know what would make it perfect, and you're not thinking about that, and you're not brave enough to communicate with me, and I'm not brave enough to listen, then what are we here for? Like, we're just building like a job for everybody. And my son and I, who is my partner in my business, that's not what we want to do. We want to build a place where people will thrive, owners, team members, and in our case, law clients.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. Yep, it's kind of interesting how it works after a while, where it's like, yep, let's get into this thing. But hey, that's actually one of the best things about life when you move at it with that intention of, hey, let's move with some speed here and take some action, then clean up things later and be like, all right, I didn't know what I was doing then, but I know now. And I got around the right people to make sure that things get even better, if not on an
Yeah,
exponential level.
you've got a sign up that says that was a good idea at the time, or it sounded like a good idea at the time. Yeah. And that's just, and we accept that because we have chosen to play in this world of entrepreneurs, and we have chosen to play in the rock'em sock'em world of highs and lows of being in business for ourselves or leading a business for ourselves. We deal with government regulators. We deal sometimes with clients or customers who don't like what we do. We deal with competitors who don't like, oftentimes don't like kind of the renegade way that we approach law, because we're kind of irreverent about the whole thing. And people walk into our place, Dom, over here in Fairfax, and they go, what is this place really? Because we have a training center right in the middle of our law firm, and everything about our lobby and stuff is not about the law. It's about making your life better, which is just a different experience.
Hey, you can say that. Yes. Oh, the random trap doors that appeared as you become an entrepreneur. It's like, I thought this would be easy. Like, nah, we just got some surprises for you. That's all. So my goodness, so since you're going on a book tour promoting the wonderful work with the fourth edition of this magical book to help folks save some wonderful time, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the podcast game?
I think what most time management books leave out, and we are, Dan and I are deep into this, is, and the question would be, like, is there a philosophy behind the book? Because it sounds like technical time management, you know, to-do lists and calendars and delegation. And here's the philosophy. You have no control over who you were born to, when you were born, or into what circumstances you were born. You have some control over the end game, depending on your life habits. But the reality, Dom, is we don't know how many days we have. I believe, Dan believes, that you are meant to live your life in happiness, not in unhappiness. What society won't tell you is that what I just said, is those words, I give you permission to say, that I was born to be happy. And I think that we're born with certain sets of gifts, talents, interests. We develop things, and our job is to go out the world and do those things, say no to other stuff. And so if you believe that, like if you accept that as a fundamental basis for living, then what the book does is it gives you a whole lot of tools and strategies. And for example, Dom, people will say to me, well, you must be very disciplined. I'm not that disciplined. Kennedy, my co-author, is not that disciplined, and he'll tell you that. But what we are good at is are building structures around us that prevent people from reaching into our pockets and stealing our time, right? You're guarding your wallet right now. We all guard our wallets, right, and our credit cards. We think nothing, Dom, of going, oh, yeah, you want to drop by while I'm in deep thought writing the next chapter? Oh, come on, interrupt me. And let me now take, you know, the 20 minutes it takes to get back in the groove. Now, that sounds mean, but the reality is, so for example, the thing that changed my life when I read the first edition was no unplanned inbound phone calls ever again. Everything is by appointment. My team said that'll never work. We've been doing it for 20 years. I've got hundreds of lawyers all over the country who now have adopted this theory, which means that, Dom, if you're a client, like, you don't get to just pick up the phone and call me and catch me unprepared, but we're going to schedule something and you're going to have access to me. And when we chat, I'm going to know what the topic is. I'm going to know what documents I need to look at. You're going to have well-formulated your thought. We're going to have a good conversation because I got another one. Like, if we have a 15-minute schedule, I've got another one at 17 minutes afterwards. And so we start to discipline ourselves, teach our clients and customers how to interact with us. And it just builds a shield. And it's better. The clients love it because they get quality answers. And then what we do, Dom, is we build our team. We teach our team not just what the answers are, but why. Why does Ben say this or that? Like, what's the legal reasoning or the philosophy? Now, my non-lawyer team does not give legal advice, but so many client questions are about process. They're about steps along the way in their personal injury lawsuit. And the legal team is well-trained because not only do we train them, but they sit in when I do have, and I'm pointing to the phone, when I do have calls with clients, we put them on speakerphone. So everybody learns. And so if you have this fundamental philosophical basis that you are meant to live in happiness, and living in happiness means doing things you're good at and you like doing, then this book will help you get there. Because what's the complaint of entrepreneurs? I don't have time. There's too many things. And here's the sad thing, Doc. We steal time. Who do we steal time from? We steal time from our families. We're the first in, the last to leave. We're here on the weekends when we don't have this stuff right. And ask any entrepreneur, do you value your family? Every single one of them is going to go, yes, I do. Oh, yeah, put my family at the top of the list. Great, Dom, I say this. Let me follow you around and watch you for 2 weeks. And let me make a judgment by your actions whether you're putting your family number one. Just think about that picture for a moment. And what this book does, it helps you to say, yes, Ben, if you followed me around for any period of time, you would see that I do put my family number one. I've structured my life. I am brave and courageous enough to say, yes, I'm going to work in my zone of genius. That is the best thing for the world. And the book is just filled with, again, very practical tips and strategies woven into this mindset thing, which is the most important part of the book. That, yes, darn it, as an entrepreneur, you are holding the weight of the world on your shoulders. Let's help you do it.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about in days. I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. Should I add a jewelry store manager to the introduction? My man dropping gems, baby. That's right indeed. That's
very
right.
Kind. Very kind.
I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so your fellow podcast host too, my man, and you've been running it for a while. So what would you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, growing, and running a show?
You're going to love this. You know why I run a podcast? So it's the Renegade Lawyer Podcast. Dom, it gives me access to so many smart people. Like, think about it. Like, I get every episode, I get coached for 45 minutes from lawyers running great practices, from mindset kings, from money managers and wealth builders. And I just letting other people listen in on my conversation. Now I've just given out that secret, but that is truly, and I didn't really realize that when I started it. Like, I didn't realize that that would be the gift that I get by putting the time into it. And, you know, the other thing is I have no problem getting podcast guests. There are people that want to tell their story. And I guess the other benefit is you just get better at asking curious questions. Like, I teach my children, I gave a talk in my church recently to teenagers, and we're talking about first interviews and stuff when you go on a job. And I'm like, dude, if you show up with three curious questions about the business or the person interviewing you, like, you will stand out like nobody else. And so teaching others how to just ask better questions, listen, like actually listen to the end. How you doing? I'm doing fine. Okay, great. Let's move on. No. Listen, be curious. That is something that I've learned and I think I've gotten better at. And I think that our guests on the Renegade Lawyer Podcast really appreciate. And a lot of times I can just tell, I ask questions and they go, no one's ever asked me that before. And it's a fun place to be. It's easy. You know, if anyone is thinking about starting up a podcast, I mean, I won't say it's easy. Like, you put a team together. Look, put a team together that will help you do the logistics. Yes, you can learn. Theoretically, you can do it all yourself, but it is great to have a back end team. And there's lots of them out there now who just can help with post-production in particular. And some people need people to go hunt guests for them. I don't. I'm fairly famous on LinkedIn and, you know, on the internet because I've been doing this in the space for 20 years. So I actually have, you know, a long list of people who want to be on the podcast. And then I love coming on things like your podcast because I love being on this end of the camera and the mic because you've asked some questions that other people haven't asked. And again, I love your cadence. Like, I'm going to, like, you can be my MC because you sound like, you sound like in one of your lives, you probably have been an MC type speaker on stage, I'm guessing.
Good old Toastmasters helps out with that one.
Yep.
Well, speaking of questions you haven't heard, you probably haven't heard this one. So, fun question about your fabulous new book, No BS Time Management for Entrepreneurs, 4th edition. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
If that book was a food, I think it would be a nutritious, healthy grain salad, just because it is, there's no BS, there's no fat, there's nothing bad for you in it. But if you ingest it, your body will digest it and it'll turn into energy to help you go move the world. And you did not pre-give me that question. That was awesome. That's a great question. I'm stealing that one. Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, so if your law firm were a food, what would it be? You're like, yeah, I heard about your firm on Ben's Renegade Lawyer Marketing Podcast, and I heard your law firm's like a cinnamon roll, and I love cinnamon rolls, so yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Our law firm, I would probably give sort of the same answer. The law firm is about putting energy into the world, right? And I think one of the things that I think the thing that we're good at is it's not just about the legal. Like, we're good lawyers, we do all that stuff. We do a lot of life coaching. Like, what's beyond the legal? What's after your case? All of our clients are sick and injured in some way, right? So how do you, but you got to live, and your life is meant to be lived in happiness. This is not just something I just made up for this podcast. This is the core of my being. And so it really spills over into everything that we do.
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. That's right. And I was about to send Jen a card for this one. I'm like, man, this is great. My man Ben's been knocking out the park, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Yeah, I would say get coaching earlier. Be more ready to go and invest in yourself. I was a fan of the success literature. I read Think and Grow Rich. I read Zig Ziglar, but I didn't have a lot of people I could discuss that with. I grew up in a great family, but my parents were not entrepreneurs. We just didn't discuss this stuff. And so going out and getting coaching and finding, because that will lead you to the other people in the world who are philosophically aligned with this abundance creative thinking, which I think is lacking in schools and stuff today, right? That's what I would do differently. Now, my life is great. I'm 66. I survived triple bypass surgery. I'm still here and I'm having fun. So, and I don't speak in terms of regret, but that's the advice that I would give to my 25-year-old self in 2024, if we could make that clock move. I haven't figured that out yet. I
Just
try
wake
though.
up
I mean,
one.
I play like I'm probably physically stronger in some respects than I was when I was 25.
Hey, that's what CrossFit does for you. Like
Yeah.
it has its moments, but it's at the end of the day, like, shoot,
It
the
does have
change is
its moments.
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Fifth. I like to call them the evil exes. It was a 15. Is it 15 or 22 of them? I think there's Fran, and then there's a few other
There's
exercises.
a billion different ones. Here's the goal. I've been at 7 years. We've never done the same workout scheme twice, right? There's unlimited combinations. My space in CrossFit now is to help introduce the over 50 crowd who may be former athletes, but they haven't done it in a long time. Like, come on in. There's a lot of noise, a lot of music, and a lot of young people who are very strong in a CrossFit gym generally. All right, I want to make the over 50 crowd comfortable so that they can be there. And we all want to live, you want to live a long time, but more importantly, you want to live, be able to live a quality life a long time. So it doesn't matter if you're living to be 100, but your last 20 years are, you're an invalid someplace. So everything we can do to be stronger, stay flexible, I think that's going to be important for the longevity.
You can say that again, because a lot of folks over 50, they're living a lot longer these days than normal. So hey, got to make sure you can
Yeah.
enjoy it as long as you can while you're
Yeah. And
That's
they're
right.
retiring their businesses with no succession plan, which is another whole podcast. But if you're listening to this and you're younger and you're looking for an opportunity, just know that the boomers are retiring and many of them have no plan and they're running businesses that you could make better if you listen to Dom, understand leadership, understand marketing. There's just an almost endless choice of businesses to go out and find and get involved in. You don't have to start everything at ground zero anymore.
You can say that again, indeed. Well, folks probably only got, shoot, I don't know, 1.5% of what the Big Ben knows. So for those that dive into the wonderful world of Ben and all of his goods, and the other 98.5% of what you do, and cop some copies of your books, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Yeah, so book release is August 13. Dan Kenny and I would love it if you bought it on August 13 or 14 or 15. We want to jam up Amazon, get bestseller status. You can find me on LinkedIn, Ben Glass Attorney, Google Ben Glass Attorney, Referee. You'll find me in the sportsmanship world as well. Hit me up. And I like talking to people, Dom, and I will try to help you if you are curious and you actually want to move your life forward. Don't come waste my time. But I love helping entrepreneurs. I love helping young people in particular, like talk about things like you and I have talked on this call. Because when we talk at these levels and not just stay down at tactics or strategies, I think, again, I think those are the fundamental way that guys like you and I and women, who run groups and stuff like that take stages. That's how we move the world.
That's how we move the world, indeed. That's right, D. The world is spinning by default. But if you want to spin it to a positive direction, my man Ben is doing it, baby. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So be sure to keep in contact with my man Ben and cop some copies of his books, especially the newest book on the wonderful launch weeks. That way we can launch it to bestseller status and beyond, plus ultra y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, Ben, any parting words before we close up shop?
You were born to inspire others. Like, live your life to inspire anyone who may be watching you, particularly if you have children. They are watching you more than they are listening to you, and I will tell you that they are learning from watching you. So just think about that too as you go through your day.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.